The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Cue the theme tune.
I wasn't even paying attention.
That's the best start. Welcome to, please sir, what show is this?
What is this? Oh yes, this is the third episode of Won't You Please Shut Up, or Please Won't You Shut Up, or I will eventually get that title correct.
Or, yes,
you shut up!
What show is this?
And we are going to talk about fucking Star Trek today, because yes. It is fucking Star Trek Day!
Because we were talking about it in the kitchen segment, which is recorded and you can get for a special payment, we swear.
Yes, yes.
We don't just keep forgetting to turn it on when we're on a wine break.
But here's the
it's
thing.
The deleted scenes.
It's the deleted scenes. But how many goddamn shows can we have going at once? We have two already. I know I actually do have a third one that is technically about the work of Kevin Smith, but I recorded 6 episodes of and then couldn't think of anything else to say.
3 is asking too much of yourself. 2.5 is ideal.
2.5. Okay, so
like 2.25.
We'll take that one.
Yeah.
It's called Pop Culture Junkie Loudmouth. So it can actually just simply switch into something else, and this can be like something else. Fuck it. If you want to have one show that is just about pop culture and one that is just about like drag and Star Trek, we can literally have that.
Okay.
That is a thing that can be done.
I don't know. I don't think we can. I think that's a false promise because I think any pop culture show that we talk about is inevitably going to either touch on or completely devolve into a chaotic whirlwind of drag and Star Trek.
Now, the upside is we can
not
simply,
even and or.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Drag and Star
both
Trek.
Both at the same time.
Both at the same time. We can simply, like, kind of randomly switch the episodes up so that they end up in one or the other, and there is no fucking logic to it.
No. Will our listeners notice
there's
the difference?
No, there is no logic to drag queens.
Take the whole show
as
this and this touch your mouth challenge.
No. It is a true case study in positivity and, like, general happiness. It is an optimist's dream.
As well, it is proof that you can write your way out of anything if you simply make something up. It's
fantasy.
Yeah, it's it is
the,
science fiction,
Canadian writer,
but it is also fantasy.
What's her name? She just did The Wives. Handmaid's Tale.
Margaret Atwood.
Margaret Atwood.
Yeah.
She is the best description. Has the best description of the way she writes. It's
speculative fiction. Science fiction.
She uses science fiction as like a bubble.
Yeah.
But she's inside writing speculatively.
Like writing
and
about
really beautiful.
Well, yeah, because it's
yeah.
science fiction. I believe the way she described it is like science fiction that.
Was.
It's not set in, like, you know, Star Trek in, like, the far-off distant whatever. It's like, no, just enough. It's kind of like how Black Mirror is, like, just enough aspects of society have changed or evolved that you can still recognize where you are. It's still very now in a lot of ways, but it's just completely
it's wildly
different
enough.
In many others.
It reminds me of a series that just started from Extra Credits on YouTube. I was just clicking through my phone frantically to trying to find the name in time for there not to be a blank space as people stare at me looking at my phone instead of listening.
You're just like staring at me.
I know. I'm gorgeous. They're going through the history of science fiction and how it went from like, you know, Frankenstein and the Roman novel. through history to speculative fiction, and like how science fiction only truly became great and noble and more than it was when it went from sci-fi as some weird nebulous kind of cheap genre to speculative.
But also illegal.
Yes. Also,
but like
yeah,
at
absolutely.
Certain points, science fiction talking about things that did not exist were illegal and punishable by death. Like if you go like 1400s, 50, like at certain times, saying the world was round, speculating that it's not flat.
Oh wow, that's
is
true.
Wrong.
And
like
always,
you are
that's
wrong.
True. You're not even
yeah.
talking speculative fiction. Just speculating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing is, whenever those theories were presented in print, it was always using a story. So that story indeed was speculative fiction that was then punishable.
Yeah. Or like stars.
Absolutely.
Mm. People thought stars were like immoral.
Yeah. Yeah. To consider that it would not be an. Forgotten the word. I know the reverse of the word heliocentric, but I can't think of
geocentric.
That's it. A geocentric universe.
Oh, right.
Because yeah, if there's another star, if those twinkly things are actually the sun, then shit.
So just to push it a little further, would that be analogous to nationalistic?
Yes.
For your planet.
There is
so is
a
that like
over of,
is that a future issue for humans? Future.
1849, motherfucker.
No, I'm thinking like global in solar, like in our, like our solar address. We're identifying.
No, it's any culture that puts itself at the absolute center of
yeah.
things, which you could say about humanity now. We're like we're the masters of this planet. It's like it keeps fighting me harder every year. I wonder why. Meanwhile, I gotta go take my shit to the dump, which is the ocean.
But like, yeah, there's speculative fiction out there that puts forward like colonial wars. That seems like what you're talking about. The concept that eventually, like a lunar Mars, what have you, colony would become so complicated and so complex and so self-reliant themselves, and so politically independent that they would eventually get into some kind of political conflict. If it's inevitable
with
any land on Earth, it has to be
North America, Europe.
Yeah, and
she's
even though
broadcasting from the New World, which you know
yeah.
this part didn't rebel, but I believe a large part did.
I believe there were multiple wars
of course
throughout
it's inevitable.
That time.
And distance, at least government-wise, breeds contempt.
Yes, exactly. So you have that as well. And even though it would at most be a 6-day ride away that you would constantly be able to see, you know, it's still enough. It's enough distance.
If Canada's capital was like anywhere, I would say west of where it is. Imagine like if Canada's capital was Vancouver. Like people in the Maritimes would just be in an absolute state. All the time.
I do wonder why people...
We would probably actually be in a state at that point.
Well, we almost were, so yeah.
I know,
absolutely.
Don't get me started.
We're technically Maine.
I know.
Something
people, okay.
really interesting happened to me recently. I was asked to like a page on Facebook by the Atlantica Party.
Oh, God, the Atlantica Party.
Don't do it.
I know them. They're crazy.
No, but like, it was weird because there was, I think, Paige had put something up about a political session was happening, and somebody had a comment from that party,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, it was an interesting comment.
Is that party still Jonathan Dean?
No, they've expanded to, like, I think 4 members, and they're all really insane libertarians.
Okay.
Yeah. I sometimes like to...
I'd rather see the tall poppies, so I can cut them down.
Exactly!
Sorry to bring it to the dark side.
No, that like I was literally saying the exact same thing.
We were saying it in the context of Star Trek, which we started to do again, but
yeah,
how did we get into this?
I had a comment about Star Trek in the fact that they don't glorify either power or knowledge.
Mm.
It is only the people who have literal power over people. I'm looking to TNG because it is my like epicenter of Star Trek.
Of course.
But, like, Riker and Picard are both strong individuals that aren't smart in science.
I sincerely disagree with you.
No, but, like, they're not intellectually,
I would say intellectually engaged by the science of it.
No, no,
they're
no,
more intellectually engaged
no.
by the social aspect of it.
Yes,
no.
yes,
Riker, yes,
it's culture.
But Picard, no.
It's culture. It's
no,
well,
Picard
they're
as
not
well.
Scientists.
He's
no, but it's the same thing for him. That's why I'm saying he's an anthropologist. Yeah. It's the same thing for him. Experiencing a culture is expanding
but
knowledge.
But they are
from
the,
him
they are
more.
The commanding people, though. And
yes,
think about
still,
it.
I,
the smartest technical people,
yeah.
Data, Geordi, Beverly, I would even kind of partially put in that category, are so passionate about the science of it.
Yeah.
That they don't care about how it like impacts people as much.
Okay.
Emotionally,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
see what you're
their
saying.
Their strength is always in the science of it, and there's a clear line of like, you believe this, but you believe people. Like, there's...
Yeah.
The commanding people believe people.
Wait a minute. Is that why we didn't like Janeway as much? Because she's so about the science?
I think so. Because people who don't get Star Trek think of Star Trek as technobabble and sci-fi and science.
Yeah.
And
it's not.
No. You're absolutely right. The best... I mean, listen. I love Picard. I love everyone on TNG. I even love Bartley, even though he appears
it's
on Voyager.
It's not that he's the best captain or it's the best ship, because that's something.
But DS9 is the best Star Trek,
yes.
Because it simply goes right to that core of Star Trek is a show about anthropology.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it's going from culture to culture,
yeah.
And saying, you're equally interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
Why?
Yeah.
What's the
show us what you got.
Oh, man,
exploring
no.
Ferengi culture.
Yeah.
It starts
off stupid, and then by the end of it,
but
you're
no,
like,
it's a
I
fully
love
monetary
this.
Culture that is developed by itself in a corner of the universe.
Oh, it's
yeah.
great. It's only
beautiful.
A commentary on capitalist America.
Ooh, it is.
And then it faces a reform, an entire universal reform of its entire system from a feminist who is herself completely unique in terms of her own power within entire Ferengi fucking history.
Do we not... have to say that she gets that opportunity through
yes.
dating
yeah,
the
she
main
gets it through
political figure
fucking
that,
the
like,
Grand Magus. But she's so because no one in
they
the entire
they never
history,
highlight that
I know
but
no one in the entirety
she
of,
has to get there because the society is that bad.
But no one in Ferengi history ever did that before.
She kicked
it's a
down
really
the door.
Curious thing.
No, she walked up, kicked down the door, said,
well,
if
no,
I have to do
they
it
were
this
kept
way.
Super meek at home yeah. naked all the time.
Cleopatra.
Like, it was rude for a Ferengi woman to wear clothes.
Cleopatra took the fucking hearts and
so
minds
saying,
of two consuls of Rome.
So what you're saying is
yeah,
Melania
no,
Trump will be president?
Not that I'm faulting anyone for winning
what,
the
what you're saying is Melania will
no,
be
I mean, she's brilliant.
President?
How do you think I get on this podcast? Whatever.
Oh, by the way, have you guys
ever... How do you think you get on this podcast?
Have you guys ever... Ooh, that's a good question. Have you guys ever heard the story of... the actual story as recorded by history of how Cleopatra impressed Mark Anthony?
Nope.
So...
You?
So, instead of the, you know, the way that she impressed and introduced herself to Caesar was, of course, smuggling herself aboard his boat in wrapped up in a carpet, and like a really lavish one, and like, you know, she wasn't supposed to be there. They were trying to make sure that no one went to the camp, and she just gets unraveled by her slaves, and is just like, hey, baby. But by the time you reach Mark Anthony, she's aged a little bit. But she also has more money and power because she's not... When she went to Caesar, she was trying to win a civil war. When she went to Mark Anthony, she was trying to hold on to her kingdom.
So she's
it's
not the kind of... She's not the kind of lady
yeah.
who wraps herself up in the carpet.
Exactly.
No,
so this
career.
Barge appears on this pier outside of Mark Anthony's camp. And it is covered in gold. Is gold. 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 Is the most expensive thing that ever floated in history, ever. Gold. And she's sitting there and just being like,
hi.
Fucking get up here.
What's
right? up? and she looks at him very simply and goes, if I throw the most lavish party in history right now, will you join me politically? Like, if I prove my infinite fucking wealth right now, in this moment... Will you join me? And he goes, yeah, sure. We're on a boat in the middle of the fucking Nile, right off of base. You're going to throw the greatest party in history. Sure, right. And so she goes, okay. She takes her pearl earring that is worth 20,000 sesterces. So this is like $1 billion. It's an enormous fucking pearl owned by the last pharaoh of Egypt. And she drops it into a glass of vinegar so it dissolves. Gone forever. And she drinks it. 20,000 fucking sesterces drank. Greatest party in human history. Next thing you know, Mark Anthony dies for that.
Yep. Shit.
Yeah.
Glory is the reward of valor.
Which is great.
Cleopatra is the greatest.
You walk up to the line.
No, you walk
up to the line. You say, there it is. You step right past it. And you say, everybody
jump right,
right
over
right
and then
off.
Dance
that
away
line.
Into the distance. That shit is great.
Oh, that's
but,
a line on
so
my
no,
kingdom.
Write that shit into Star Trek. Don't just have Quark's mom bang the Negus. That's what happened. Like,
just
make
fucking
that happen.
Amazing.
Like, you know what? I'd rather just impress. I guess they wrote it both ways because it was like,
well,
no, you
she
have
was,
like
super
gonna be,
rich.
I'm gonna
by
be
the
no,
reference.
No. I'm gonna be inconceivable.
Yeah.
Who's he?
Oh my
damn,
god.
Wallace Shawn. Yes, Wallace Shawn. Yes. She gives him economic advice from a woman. Can you believe it?
I like how everybody has a Ferengi voice.
Yeah.
And
I hope
it's
has
so easy to
your
voice. It's
so easy
to
like
mine's a little deeper and like angry.
I feel like it should be noted that the dog is just peacefully sleeping away as everyone is bursting into Wallace Shawn around her.
Meanwhile, look at the spikes on that fucking dog.
that's the Wallace Shawn spike right there. Inconceivable. I guess that was it, though. She was also, like, a super economic brain.
Yeah.
Oh, and she also kind of, like, saved him from, like, slight Alzheimer's, too.
Well, yeah, because, and it's funny, because I just watched that episode
that
the other day.
Well-rounded. I take back my earlier criticism.
Oh,
well, whatever. I don't do it often,
no,
so let it pass.
I think you were accurate in, like, the large brushstrokes are a little regressive.
That's true. If you just glance over it,
yeah.
which unfortunately
like
I think a lot of people who watch an episode of Star Trek from now and again would just
it's
be like,
still
that's problematic, and you're like, oh no,
it's a
context.
Network show from the late 90s.
Oh no, I'm suddenly everyone with nuance.
You know, it's the same as watching Friends and being like, oh, they're all really homophobic.
Oh man, the gay panic humor on Friends is hilarious, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, because it's late 90s,
it doesn't play
it's
now.
Not
well, it's weird.
Yeah, it's not like offensive. It's just like, that's weird.
Now, like, Chandler would just kiss Joey back, and it would be hilarious, and they'd just be like, oh. And that would be that, but instead it's a, yeah, it's
not only
face.
That, Joey and Ross would have had a fucking relationship.
Oh, yeah, Ross would have been gay if they made it now.
This is, for a complete digression, apparently the season of bisexual character emergence, which
yeah,
I think
I
is great
that.
For television. And the BBC and a bunch of British networks are having their, like, gay times of, like, the UK this year, apparently.
Oh, yeah,
guys.
I heard that. Well, I'm sorry, I'm over here on this cloud
gay
called
time.
Doctor Who is Trans, and I'm on my own party.
Yeah, it took Doctor Who a long time to be trans.
Yeah, but, like, sweet.
And anyone out there who's like, ooch, what? It's like, well, no, come on, it's like Doctor Who's a woman now. Like,
and I am slightly annoyed, that, unfortunately, that their head writer then immediately came out and said, I'm paraphrasing here, but more or less, trans people are so ridiculous. And it's like, but you're the head writer on a
wait,
show.
Context. How so?
Like, you're always so out there, and you choose the most ridiculous names. I think he was thinking about drag.
Is that an... I don't even think that's an unintentional burn, though. Like,
yeah, I know.
I can see that being a terrible backhanded compliment. Through
like,
an exposure.
Well, and that's why everyone's just like, you're kind of weird, aren't you?
Well,
instead
I'm surprised
like,
at the level
arms.
Of inexposure from someone who is the showrunner on a show where the character has suddenly, through reasons very alien and like convenient, transitioned from a long-term man to a woman. Oh, what's her name?
Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah. Jodie Whittaker.
That is an excellent question.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. If
she's
it's not Matt Smith,
great.
I'm not paying attention.
She's right? Oh, my God. Better than David Tennant. Sorry, David Tennant.
Shut
You're
up.
Amazing. I know.
And
he
is my freebie.
I still love you. But, like, yeah, Matt Smith.
Really? Even after Broadchurch?
I haven't watched it.
Broadchurch.
I can't watch it.
No. It's amazing. He's amazing. But he's too sad.
No, he's amazing. He's amazing.
He lost me entirely. Between that and Jessica Jones, it's either too sad or creepy.
No, he's even better now.
Jessica!
I love sad.
Haven't seen either one because I am
I'm an optimistic TV watcher. You better make me fucking happy.
You it will not make you
smile.
Happy.
It does.
No.
Broadchurch made me cry.
Yeah.
First
you,
episode.
How would you know?
You did
and,
watch
and that's an ugly
I watched
cry.
The first episode.
That is an ugly existential cry. Of,
it's true.
Why
it's
are
true.
You
it's
doing
true.
That?
Okay, 6 feet under, again, because I will find a way to talk about it. It'll be my contact. It'll be my conscious contact. 6 feet under, the final episode makes me, like, not ugly cry. Makes me, like, you know, possibly the only not ugly
internally
cry. Like,
cry.
No, I, like, weep
but, like,
a little, and it's like, oh, it's so touching. It's just so meaningful. And then it's silly and it's saccharine, but it's that. But no, like, yeah, you ugly cried at the first episode of Broadchurch.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't watch people's worlds have acid poured over every inch and quarter of it.
I'm right
I
there.
Can't.
Yeah. I'm right there.
I can't watch that and
yeah.
be okay.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
And the funny
I love
thing
it.
Is, yeah. Funny thing is, yeah, 7 fucking years at the magazine, I can't watch Broadchurch for 5 minutes.
Oh my god. A year and a half and nothing but, like internal self-generated crises. And no, I'll watch Broadchurch and be like, this is fascinating. Who did rape that woman?
Just
who
no,
did murder that preteen boy?
Stop hurting people. You're all in a small
but
town.
Why is Jodie Whittaker crying like her life has descended into a
this
chaotic
is also, this is also coming from a person who enjoys watching a documentary on the Civil War.
I love Ken Burns' The Civil War.
Oh my
like
god, I've
else.
Watched Ken Burns' The Civil War so many times,
oh
it's not even funny.
Oh my god, I want to scratch every surface of my
what
eye
is it,
out.
The Ashokan Waltz, or Ashokan Waltz, or whatever,
yeah,
that thing music?
Okay, so
Ashokan
so,
Farewell.
So,
just go an octave up or down.
No,
actual
no,
no,
up or down.
No,
YouTube
that
slightly
shit,
shut
Farewell.
Up for a second.
War Wallace Shawn and Ken Burns' The Civil War. I'm very happy.
Octave
should actually, yeah, pull that up because it'll be in the background while I tell this. So there's this violinist who always comes down and busks in Halifax.
I'm not pulling it up. People can Google it. I'm not paying royalties to Ken Burns, although I do love him.
So every year he comes down and he will play that at some point during the day.
Oh, really? Okay.
This year I'm going to ambush him. Dressed in 18th century whatever. And I'm going to stand there and just be like, Ebert didn't come home today. He was shot in the face by a Yankee.
Can you please be Mary Chestnut? I love Mary Chestnut.
I don't even know where to start with any of this.
Oh, God. It's just so...
Brent gets so mad when he comes downstairs and hears this. It's just like, it's a whole thing. There's a little... We have our own The Civil War.
It's
much less devastating, but it's sure... It's much way more entertaining.
I love how...
The lines are drawn. And I will tell you, I fought 40 days and 30 nights and shit the bed twice.
You know how you can get
in
those...
In the time that I did not want to listen to this documentary.
No, I'm gonna get
and
a...
Every time
I'm
this
gonna
documentary
get a kitschy little
started, I looked at it and it wasn't happy. Was it?
I'm gonna get a kitschy little
know.
Bell. A little
I'm
bell.
Gonna
I'm gonna put it on the wall. I'm gonna engrave it and call it Secessia. And I'm gonna secede this den from this house at marriage.
Then you must
for the betterment of
put
the den's
a new
own
to the outside, because you are now crossing our path into that hallway, past that bathroom or that kitchen.
Can the bathroom be Ford Sumter? It's really
never,
small and necessary.
Never! That is not the way it runs!
Can the bathroom be Ford Sumter? We're putting up a sign. The bathroom is... So the other day I was in Ford Sumter.
I've been here for quite some time.
I dropped the biggest bomb in Ford Sumter. Bigger than any other one in history.
He went into Fort Sumter half shit-faced and crapped all over the walls.
The Civil War always makes me laugh. That's why I watch this all the time.
Right? That's the thing. You will get the most horrible, heart-wrenching stories, and you're just sitting there going, but you're all dead anyway.
I can only just look at it as like
so
a bunch of siblings put
dead.
Into a pen and the parents are like, figure it out. That's what the Civil War was. Because... It was like, oh, look, Britain and... Oh, yeah, we're good. We're good.
Man, if
you guys
ever wanted American listeners for this show,
oh
we'd just burn them all. It's just like, you know what Canadians do for fun?
We make
they
fun
get slightly tipsy, let's go with that, and they laugh about the Civil War.
Yeah.
Sorry. While listening to Ken Burns.
Because we're civil.
Oh, man. We're too,
yeah,
we're too civil to have a war. I'm going to knock on wood right now. We live east of Quebec. This is the danger zone.
To be fair, we did have a civil war. It was just this really, really, really tiny one in Red River.
I wanted to talk earlier when you were talking about Nova Scotia being a state. There were only two places in like greater Nova Scotia, which was also New Brunswick. These were
greater than
New Brunswick.
Greater than New Brunswick.
I love New Brunswick, I'm sorry. Majorville, New Brunswick had a little Patriot mini uprising. And the only other place they got any support whatsoever in Nova Scotia, I believe, was River Phillip, which was the county seat for my home county.
Yeah.
Like, it's like down the road from my hometown. And I love the idea of that. I'm just like, you know what? If my hometown didn't, I believe, still bars legally, if there was a local I could go into and rabble rouse, like, I could probably say, start, like, at least a New England Patriots revolution.
Probably. So that means that a representative, if not Benedict Arnold himself, went there and was like, okay.
Rabble.
Bradley,
someone. Someone Bradley.
You want to fight? I don't know any either. I'm gonna.
The 14 colonies could have been so great. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
No, we would have ended up as Greater Maine, and that just would have been depressing.
We're so much greater than Maine.
Northern Maine.
We're so much greater than Maine. And we're for something parts of Maine, I think. Find me a map, I believe.
Actually, I used to vacation in Maine when I was a kid, and it was really nice.
And what's sliding Maine, but we're just
exaggerating
our
some
local greatness.
Well, there's the thing, is that there is this one memory where we were driving through a town, and like they were having like one of those town days, but there was like a fight that was going on, and on one side of the street were people screaming at the other side of the street, and you're just a tourist driving down the street, and you're just like,
I'm home.
The fuck is this?
That's being Canadian.
Oh, sorry.
That's it. Just looking around going, what the fuck is this all about?
My parents grew up in Scotland, and like, let's face it, there's a lot of blood.
There's a civil war
between Scotland and England,
within
Scotland
really?
Itself.
The
because
Scots
of the stupid
Scots?
Campbells.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Are you
going to
slight Campbells on our show? Who slight Campbells
you
on
didn't
our
tell
show?
Him. What?
Are you a Campbell?
I'm a Campbell.
That's okay. You can transition to a Robinson anytime you want. It's your right as a Canadian.
You're from
we live in a
you're from
society.
The Highlands.
I'm off that boat in New Glasgow. Like, I could trace that shit.
Alright, we got way off Star Trek and Drag.
Yeah, well, you know.
Super far.
That's
our
show
right
that
in
you're
Antarctic
listening to.
Star Trek world. We can do that. But that's the thing.
That's the thing that we were
yes,
talking about,
yes, we were
right?
saying, because you two were both being very political about Star Trek, and nobody was, I can't believe you even suggested some people claim Star Trek is fascist.
Oh,
that's
lots
insane.
Of people, it's even a kind of a joke to say, like, hey, isn't it funny that Star Trek is, like, supposed to be the most progressive future ever, but it kind of resembles a fascist society if you don't think about it at all and only look at the uniforms.
It's
so dumb. At any point, the whole central core.
No, it's fascism veiled in, like an optimist mindset.
I get very mad about this apparently, but the whole central tenet is of being a character in the Star Trek universe, at least in the Federation part of it, is at any point you can just be like, "Fuck this," and you can just up and leave, and you don't even have to leave the Federation. You can just go find a colony world somewhere with
you
its
can disassociate
protectorate
with
zone.
The vision.
And
yeah.
By and large, you can just do your own thing. And I know someone's going to be like, DMZ, that was a bad thing. They poisoned whole planets. Oh, my God.
Well,
system,
yeah. The Maquis.
Mistakes are made.
And that was
true.
The Maquis got this shaft.
Society,
really hard.
Whether
I understand
it's alien
that.
Worlds.
But also,
continent.
Like, that's
mm-hmm.
try not
mistakes
to settle next to
made.
Your country's biggest enemy. Like, that's just pragmatism.
The reality of it is it comes down to just some writers are better than others, and some will write it with that universal progressive vision, and some will just be like, hackney script. And that hackney script has immediately creates problems for that universe, because how can something be both this progressive concept and hackney? Well, it has to be to make sense in Star Trek lore. So you end up with a fascist Star Trek fleet.
It's also really easy to veil different views from different writers and different producers. Like,
yeah.
It's the type of show where the artist actually brings something to the table.
Yeah.
And like Doctor Who, where not every show is written by the same person or produced by the same person. So it's maybe a writer's interpretation of a previous episode that they've thought about. They would now write one. The next producer looks at it and has to take, like, there's always iterations. And I find if you, like, there's always the same 3 to 5 characters in Star Trek runs of shows.
Yeah, but, like...
Where, like, the writers play. Like, they play with each other.
And you're absolutely
literally.
Right, even in terms of, like, Space Seed was not written by the same person who wrote Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
So whoever wrote Wrath of Khan had a very different intention in mind, but they connected it correctly so that it's not this... blindingly weird Benedict Cumberbatch looking thing.
There's a point of departure and a point of landing
yeah.
to everything.
It's like, oh, I see how that makes complete sense. Yes, he went from, yes, he was a terrorist and a dictator, but then he was a wanderer lost in space, out of time, and it's just like, okay, we're going to have pity on you because, you know, you're lost. You
shit
lost.
Is real and
yeah.
shit sucks sometimes.
Exactly.
And sometimes... If you disappear out into the ethos, you don't come back.
Yeah, and that's... I love Wrath of Khan for that basic setup of it's not Khan's fault. He agreed. He went along with the plan, and Kirk fucked up. Kirk didn't bother to check, and something bad happened, and Khan dealt with it as best as he could.
He had a toolbox of... abilities and emotions.
Yeah.
A lot of them weren't good.
And you know what? He spent years on that planet without doing anything evil after the Cataclysm, and only when driven to complete desperation and having lost the person he loved did he actually finally be like, fuck this, I'm gonna go get me some revenge.
I don't have the slightest goddamn idea what either of you are talking about, and
what
I'm gonna again
fuck?
Blame it on my regular Christmas-related alcohol.
It's Wrath of Khan!
That's when I watched the Star Trek movie.
It's the second one!
It's the Trek Mistakes movie,
marathon. How drunk do you get during motion picture?
Apparently passively intoxicated.
Holy shit, I know it's boring, but holy shit, man.
Let's say I was out having a pee break for Wrath of Khan.
Do you remember Search for Spock?
Vaguely.
Voyage Home?
No,
I'm sorry,
the Search for Spock is essentially Easter.
Yes, it really is the story
of
Easter.
It is Easter with pointy ears.
And out of
okay,
the egg comes
I don't
Spock.
Have, we've talked about how your movie and I'm TV, I don't have the greatest appreciation for the Star Trek movies. I don't. I can't really think of one I've been excited to sit through.
I find them just...
if
the
we ever try to have a music episode,
yeah.
if we ever pretend to be
oh,
those people...
we're going to have many music episodes.
Oh my god.
I already planned out 26 of these motherfuckers.
Do you want to know how I spend every concert I've ever been to?
Yeah.
Counting the amount of songs they've played, trying to figure out an average playlist, like, sounds in my head, and wondering how much longer I have to be there.
Oh,
every
god.
Time. I've... Nope. Everyone I've actually been to, I have some dream concerts I would go to, and like, you know, like minor, like, pub shows, of course. But
so what you're saying is you've never been
that.
To a mosh pit.
Oh, God.
You
because
never been
I have
pit.
Lost a sock.
Sock?
Not a shoe. Don't know how that happens.
I hope
sock.
You gained someone else's shoe.
Excuse me, what kind of bullshit mosh pit are you in? When I went into the pit, there was actual fighting in my day.
Oh,
that's
oh,
why
yeah.
I wasn't there.
It was fun on a bun listening to thrash music
fun,
and fighting each other.
Oh,
it was a mosh pit in Chicago that was in an old theater that they took all the seats in.
Oh, that's actually sexy as fuck.
And it was like, I went to see The Faint, which were one of the most fucked up bands I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
But also really expressive. There's one of the songs named Erection, and it is... literally talking about when you get one.
Yeah.
All of the places, never the word is never said.
Have you heard the theme tune for this show?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I love it.
So the theme tune for this show is The Ballad of Chasey Lane.
Who is a porn star?
Oh, you need to play
it. Was. Should we play it right now?
Yeah.
Should we talk over it like the Civil War?
Sure will. Turn it down just slightly. I do worry about the levels a bit. With the lyrics, but not in terms of like worrying about what people think about it. I mean, like being able to discern voices.
I would assume everyone wants to discern the Bloodhounds. No, they don't. The Bloodhound Gang is really noisy.
I love them. They're great.
But yeah,
they
but it's electric techno and
it's
punk, and it's very wonderful.
my ears. I shouldn't make fun of, you know, Vanheim theme song of our show, which I'm sure we're totally using someone's permission. I presume it's yours, but...
Yeah. Well, technically... Sorry, I didn't want to speak over that. Technically, it's satirical use, so...
That's true. We're sure making fun of it. It's
Another band that has made excited me in the past.
Turned into a music show.
Dresden Dolls.
I've never really gotten into them, but I don't know why.
The other one was Moving Parts. And I only found them 3 years after they collapsed on themselves after being existing for a year.
I hate when that happens.
But they were so good. It was the, talking about sci-fi, it was the sci-fi, Jane...
Jane's guy?
Firefly?
Firefly. It was the Firefly of music. It happened like 1 year, and everybody found out 5 years later that it was great.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like, there's one EP I found with like six songs. So good.
All I could hear during that was you let me eat your ass.
Hey, shit happens.
That's why I click explicit.
Apparently everyone should, because that's what our show is called.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Speaking of, okay.
Dad, this is JC. JC, this is my mom and dad. Now show them them titties.
Explicit. New Star Trek.
Ooh, yes.
Yes.
They say fuck, they get high, there is mild sexual, like, innuendo.
Fantastic.
No, Rewind. There was a gay character in Star Trek.
Oh, no, we talked about
that last episode.
Well, I'm new to it. I'm really excited. Thank you, and I agree with everything that they said.
We're all very excited, and everyone should also watch Schitt's Creek for David and Patrick.
But also
they need
as
to be
long
said,
as it's been covered, I'm happy. I want to vote
you've
for
beaten that particular
positivity.
Vote, Jack. Yeah.
Big shout out to Ensign Rent. I can't remember the actor's real name right now. Rappaport?
Who? What?
He's not an ensign. Lieutenant.
Dan?
No.
Doctor?
Discovery. His husband.
The doctor?
No, his husband.
Oh, God. Who plays
Stamets.
Him?
Stamets. I want to say Rappaport?
No.
I don't know why I want to say that. Maybe because it's a great word to say. Rappaport?
Stamets.
I'm also slightly upset in the fact that he's shrouded in the sex scandal?
Yes, but
I don't like
he's
on the,
right,
at least he's
that.
On the best side of it. As
I agree.
Really?
Not evil.
Is being the victim the best side?
No,
admittedly, you don't want to be evil. Like, you don't want to be anything in
like,
that.
Like, I'm speaking morally, of course.
I know, but there's more than two roles. Like, you want to be one of the lawyers, and preferably the one that's in charge of, like, putting someone... Like, it's so dumb.
What the fuck?
But I also am really excited that his personal journey.
Anthony
has...
Rapp.
Yeah. Big shout out to
he's
Anthony
fantastic.
Rapp.
Fantastic.
He favored a joke of mine on Twitter.
Yes. Oh, man, that's almost worth being on Twitter for.
I know, it was so good.
But his personal journey coincided with, I think, a political movement.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it wasn't. I'm glad he wasn't pushed into the background and forgotten about, because not a lot of people actually get noticed when a bad thing happens and are doing well in life when people find out.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm just, as an optimist,
Kevin Spacey was my favorite actor, and now it's just like,
Problems.
You know what? Part of me wants to wrestle over, like, whether you can enjoy a show after that or not, and then part of me is just, you read some stories and they include some details that you're like, man... Suspension of disbelief is a thing, but it's also a choice.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, choices.
I think I stopped really paying attention to Kevin Spacey during K-Pax. I couldn't really get through K-Pax without just being like,
Was it the sunglasses?
No, I'm done. No.
Some movies are both
just,
forgettable
and
unforgivable.
God. Everything about it.
Yeah, but fuck, explicit content and... all kinds of things in the new Star Trek.
And great characters. And more characters that we haven't even really met yet or to talk to.
So much of the bridge crew. You see them all the time, but you don't know their names. That's so rare for Star Trek. Normally, it's like, Lieutenant Kim, you're going to leave the show.
They're being smart, though. They're not giving you the backstory.
Yeah, they're not creating
in
Harry Kim and it's on Harris, which you don't want.
They're not giving you the backstory of every single character on the bridge crew in the first season.
No,
they're giving you the lines,
first.
Like the mainline story of what's happening, and then picking and choosing and pulling people in into every single story, which is it's flipping Star Trek on its head,
also,
which is what it needed.
And taking that time also lets the audience and the writers decide just by watching which one of these bridge characters, which are normally the core people you know about, that we know nothing about, which one of them is just still naturally emerging as curious and interesting, despite the fact that they never
and because they haven't at all focused on them, I don't think many people have noticed the vast majority of the bridge crew are women.
Okay, I noticed
no
that
one
the vast
even really noticed.
Kind of, like, not the vast majority, but a massive contingent of the crew is alien, which I was very happy about.
Oh, fantastic.
Because there's been a way too much, okay, where, if the Federation's so big, why are there humans everywhere? Like, I understand, because production costs.
And
so,
I think
is
that's
nice
where
to
a lot
it,
of
yeah.
the fascism things come from, because every captain you follow is a human.
Yeah.
Every first officer, aside from Kira, is human.
Central character not having any power on the ship? Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then gaining power on the ship, of course, yes. But, like,
so season
don't follow the captain as the central character every time.
Season one of the new Star Trek, I think, is the away mission.
Yeah.
All of the... Everybody's a red shirt.
Yeah. Anything can happen.
Everybody on the crew is a red shirt.
Yeah.
That's great. It's great.
And you've picked, like... You see the characters that bubble.
Except for Michael.
They kind of took... They must have
if they
that.
Kill Tilly, I'll... Oh, no.
They could.
Tilly is a late season kill. She is a Jon Snow, but
that's
let it happen. No, no, not Tasha Yar. I'm talking... They clearly took this from Game
like
of Thrones.
Season 5.
Yeah, and they clearly took the red shirt everyone attitude from Game of Thrones. You never know who's going to die. But... You only kill fan favorites later, so it hurts all the more.
I would accept that under one condition.
You kill Hodor 5
I would accept
in.
That under one condition, when it comes to Tilly in particular. Nope. You kill Tilly in season 5, and then to start season 6, mirror Tilly survived the destruction of the ship.
Oh, Killy
and you get
comes
Captain
back.
Killy.
Oh,
yes.
Killy.
Yes.
I'd be fine with that.
As like a villain.
Yeah.
That actress would have so much. That actress, nope, can't let that.
She's
pass.
Surprisingly good.
Can't
like,
let that.
Like for someone that you think at the at first is just like, oh, you're gonna be a really annoying.
No,
Wesley.
I loved her from minute one.
Oh, she was so.
She started out as Barkley.
Oh,
no,
even worse.
I know.
Although no, I like Barkley in Voyager. Oddly, I do not like Barkley on TNG.
No, because he was allowed to express his character differently than on TNG. TNG, there was way too much beige and Dusty Rose.
Mary Wiseman.
Mary Wiseman. She's a fantastic actress.
Sylvia Tilly, and also
what is her,
equally fun Captain
like,
Tilly.
Acting history. Like, what does...
Yeah, go to
how did you get...
Lord knows. Let's find out.
How did she get to where she is?
Well, yeah, she took, like,
IMDb, we're already
character.
On Memory Alpha. Let's be dorks about this.
Yeah.
Let's find out who she is from a Star Trek perspective. Someone out there is going, that's what you do when you watch. I'm really having like a moment about it, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Shut your mouth! Oh god, she's just slightly older than I am.
Shut up. Her first credits were, according to Memory Alpha, two appearances in the television series Craft and Burn, 2012. Nope.
Never heard of that.
Guests
sorry.
In 2016 and 2017 on the characters, Difficult People, and 3 episodes of Baskets, 1 episode featuring Bart McCarthy. What's going on? Are we in the mirror universe? I don't get any of these references. This is like watching
who's
a Girl Girls
no,
episode.
No, 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 excuse me. The best part is in Longmire, comma, with an episode featuring Raphael Spurge. Who the fuck is Raphael Spurge?
The fuck is Longmire?
What is happening?
Her theater and credits include So and Weep, I Wanted to Have... I Wanted to Have a How, and I Wanted to Have a Verb.
Okay.
Clive Barton Park? God. The Octoroon? The Skin of Our Teeth? and
Therese Requin.
Therese Requin. Oh my god.
Nope.
She also appeared in
eclectic,
the 2014
eclectic.
Short Three Dales. Oh my god. And is currently filming another short, Health to the King.
So what you're saying,
at least that one I can say.
So I think we're in
wow.
full agreement that, like, as
nobody
a character
knows.
Actress.
No Margot Martindale.
She's better. Fuck.
Whoa.
There's 15
Whoa.
Things
Whoa.
I haven't heard.
Whoa.
No Margot Martindale.
You know what this means? We have to end the show.
Oh god, we do.
We reference beloved character actress Margot Martindale.
How?
Is that the end?
Yeah.
That's always
you
the
know,
end.
You know, it's how we always close it.
Except in this case, we can have one more Wallace Shawn.
Oh, Wallace Shawn.
It is conceivable!
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.